This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Six great flavors of slushies. Pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. My two favorites. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The beverage supermarket. It is Tuesday. Thus time now for Tuesdays with Neil. Sir, welcome.
As always, it is my absolute pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
All right. Cam Sutton, 8 games, the suspension on this, which I still maintain to this day, if they'd done that with Ray Rice originally, and you know, because they knew what the video looked like. This one didn't have video. What was your thought on how the NFL handled it?
Stealthily.
Yes, stealth.
Perhaps a bit with a bit more savvy.
Yes,
then probably a good idea to do it around a holiday weekend. You know, it's had kind of a somewhat of a news dump feel to it, but not to make light of the situation. I mean, he's in a good amount of trouble. I would guess there's something there to suggest it's not as severe as it's going to be made out to be, at least in the eyes of the law, not the public. But 8 games, that's definitely on the higher end of the spectrum for what they would do. And obviously the Steelers knew this was going to happen. And at that point, it's from a transactional standpoint, it's bargain shopping. You get 8 games at the end of the year, plus maybe the playoffs of a good, experienced NFL corner who knows what you're doing defensively at half the price of the minimum contract. So you see from their perspective why they did it, knowing the suspension was coming. From the league's perspective, that's they probably pushed for that, if not more, just considering the pretty extreme nature of what he's accused of. Usually my thought is it's the least they can do, and it kind of is in that sense. But a messy potential situation that I think generated a lot more negative attention toward the NFL than it has in the past. And you brought up the classic example of it, their inability to get ahead of the Ray Rice situation. And I'd be remiss if you didn't point out Baltimore's involvement in that. The way they handled that was a lesson in what not to do moving forward. And I think the NFL, as well as the Lions, saw the potential issues that are going to come from this. And from that point, if they can't bar Sutton from playing exactly without creating an even bigger problem for themselves. If that's the case, though, then, maybe Pittsburgh is the right place to kind of, let him serve that suspension in an effort to move past it from their perspective as quickly as they can. Some people will say that that's, not the right way to go about it. Well, the NFL isn't a federal court. It's not their job to do that. Whatever additional punishment that Sutton's going to get, we'll find out. Maybe that's not the end of suspensions or time away or anything like that that he'll have to serve. But for now, it's the punishment I think that I probably would have bet that that's what he would get, but I still feel like it's probably not enough needing to send a stronger message. The fact that he did what he did is alleged to have done is you know, horrific in and of itself. But the fact that he then evaded police for 3 weeks, that's a problem for me. I get the value that he poses to the Steelers, but I feel like you can probably find another cornerback somewhere. That's just my opinion.
So that brings up the next part. Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin are smart people, so they knew in some form, they didn't know what length it would be in terms of the suspension, but they knew in some form they wouldn't have him initially. So where do they look? Say it plays out to be 8 games, right? That's what it plays out to be. So they have to go through the first half of the season without him. So where do you see the Steelers compensating for him not being there for the first 2 months of the season?
Well, oddly enough, I think you go back to the Kevin Colbert playbook. They love the pre-free agency, somewhat veteran cornerback, you know, with some experience but still cheap. And I'll be honest, I watch a lot of football, I read a lot of football, I study it probably more than what is healthy. They usually find a guy you've never heard of before. To come in and play snaps for him. The success rate of that strategy aside, that's just typically what they do. I mean, you know, going back to the Brandon Boykin trade, Bryce McCain was a good player they brought in. I know everybody absolutely hated Antoine Blake, but considering the price that they paid for him, they got a lot of good run out of him. Mike Hilton's done a phenomenal job. The Steelers resurrected his career. There are a lot of defensive backs that get washed out one place or another. It's a really hard position to play. There are veterans on, who would be on very affordable terms who are going to be available. This is right now, just isn't a great time for signings. And to your point, yes, they absolutely knew a suspension was coming. It was a question of how long. I think it's just more like we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. We have our eyes on these guys. Maybe it's this guy who's coming off surgery. We just want to be able to get a check on it, you know, a little closer to the day. They'll make a move. You know, defensive back is probably the most active position during training camp to replace that and running back. There are guys that come in and out at those positions all the time. And certainly in the NFL, we've seen success. Obviously, a lot of failure as well. But we've seen success all over the spectrum of transactions in the NFL. Top five draft picks, seventh round draft picks, undrafted veterans that did nothing with two teams that, you know, picked on somewhere else because of a schematic advantage they might have, things like that. You know, they have their eyes on the people that they want. I think even before Cam Sutton, the idea was they need to add somebody, to at least provide some depth at cornerback in particular, maybe, you know, a multifaceted defensive back. I did not think they would get through training camp just with their depth chart going into it. They were planning on adding somebody. Maybe they add somebody after cuts. They're always open to those kinds of things. I think that's the path they'll go down now and try to figure it out. Get used to the idea that Sutton's not going to be there, but he's somebody that they want to play significant snaps late in the season. And now they have, you know, a sense of how exactly long that's going to be. And, a more clearer picture of what their options are.
I think we've established over time that, you know, you extensively cover the Steelers in the NFL, but you do it from Minnesota. Kyrie Jackson, the fourth-round pick of the Vikings, was killed in a car crash in Maryland over the weekend that also took the life of former Penn State defensive back A.J. Litton. He was in the car with him. Jackson had gone to Alabama, he'd gone to Oregon, he ended up being a fourth-round pick. A.J. had been at Florida State, then transferred here, and did a lot of work, especially on special teams in a corner here. What has the depth of just the sorrow in Minnesota over what happened to him? And for the Vikings, that was a guy, you don't get drafted in the fourth round unless they have some plans for you somewhere. And what does that do to their plans once they overcome the intense grief?
You know, you brought up Cam Sutton. That's the first thing I thought of, because a well-respected scout that I know within the league associated with the Vikings. I remember what he told me, what he thought of Jackson was he thought he could be a Cam Sutton type. It was obviously a tragedy. You know, the whole thing is just it's gut wrenching. Anybody you talk to about Kyrie Jackson, A-plus character kid.
Yes.
Everybody liked him. Everybody gravitated toward him. You could see why he had the success that he had, not just because, you know, he's obviously an excellent athlete, a very strong technical defensive back, but he's just one of those people that finds a way to do what he needs to do to be successful. And he had such a great attitude. I know inside the locker room, the coaching staff, the front office are gutted. They loved him.
Yeah.
I would agree. And it's interesting because, you know, people will say, well, you know, how big of a deal could it be if he was a fourth round pick? But you don't understand. They're not drafting, you know, 1 through 245 or whatever.
That's
it
right.
is
That's
on
right.
ability. It's not like number 9 is automatically better than number 13.
Right.
That's not how they divide it up. If you're a fourth-round guy, there are reasons that might not be necessarily skill-related. Not the best athlete, not the biggest cornerback who's out there. He probably fits the mold of a third, fourth-round defensive back in the NFL. They saw him as being a very effective slot corner. Now, for whatever reason, it doesn't seem teams put a high level of value on a slot cornerback nowadays. They felt he was a player. He would have gotten a lot of snaps this season. They were going to count on him for a lot of things. They wanted to see how he looked in camp and you know, move him along with what they saw in the defense. But he was going to be a guy who played a lot for him. They were going to ask him to do a lot of things, and they felt he could take it. He just needed to, you know, work his way into the NFL. They were going to give him some time and some room to do that. But they're gutted. You know, it's a tremendous loss for a variety of reasons. Lower on the list is the impact that
right.
He would have had on the Vikings on the field. Mm-hmm. But to see, you know, three lives lost in such a situation, it's heartbreaking, really. It's hard for teams to recover from that, you know. And I you can see the Andrea Kramer story on ESPN coming up with Kevin O'Connell about how the Vikings managed to handle that and deal with that. Football players are not at their best on the field when they feel their own mortality. And mm-hmm. in situations like this, bring that out. You know, it's sobering. It's a really hard thing for really any team to overcome. But if they're going to and they're going to rally around that kind of thing, it's up to your locker room. It's your leadership.
Yeah.
And O'Connell has to spearhead that. He's a great leader. The team believes a lot in him. They have a lot to do, though. That's just a really tough thing to happen. You hate to see it. It just seems like something, you know, a lot of negativity in the NFL in July. A lot of bad things have happened in the NFL in July.
Yeah.
Of recent memory, that's the worst in my mind. A lot of people I've talked to have held him in really high regard, and some of them have had conversations with me about him prior to that. I didn't know who he was until the Vikings drafted him.
Right.
A lot of people really saw good things for him in the future. Great story that just didn't get to end the way that it should have.
Right, and by the way, it's the other driver that's at fault in all this, so if anybody's wondering. And there's the other part, too, about where he's drafted. You can be the fifth-rated tight end in the entire draft, and 27 teams don't need tight ends. So you end up in the fourth or fifth round. So, I mean, it's just, it doesn't go the, hey, he's the 200th pick. Well, you're not the 200th best player. You're just the 200th pick because that's just the way it fell. You know,
exactly.
Tom Brady will do the 199 ship all he wants. It's adorable, but you know, like the bottom line is, you got into the league and made it work.
Where he should have been drafted,
right? Well, he got into the league and he made it work.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty well. Last time I checked,
you got to continue to improve, and the idea is more they put a lot of value in teams. Their philosophy of where they draft players and why is far more complex than people think that it is. They have very strict definitions for what a fourth round pick would be for them, and most of the time, really the difference between a fourth and put it in the third. I know this for sure. The difference between a first and a third oftentimes comes down to an inch. This guy's a little bit bigger. Therefore, he is in a rarer class of athlete. Yeah. He's harder to find. If he doesn't have that, there are more like him in the third round. We would draft him there. We wouldn't draft him in the first round. I think Jackson fits a lot of that, and that's why I was floored with the news of Cam Sutton coming right after it, because Cam Sutton was a great example of that. This is a guy that can play inside or outside coming out. Not an elite athlete, didn't have elite size, but nobody said he was not going to be at least a solid pro. And he got a pretty nice extension that he'd be playing on right now if not for his own mistakes. So, the difference between that initial huge first-round check and the security that comes with it is not really that big. They're solid players. Jackson played at Alabama. Then he played at Oregon.
Yes,
it's not like he went down to Division III or anything.
Right.
He had success. He had another opportunity elsewhere, and he got himself into the league. And that's after a point in time. He came from community college. He wasn't really sure if he wanted to keep playing. Something changed in his life, and he put that forward. That's the kind of guy to bet on. That's why the story is just so horrible.
Yeah.
This would have been a great story. This would have been somebody you want to root for. In life, from everything I've heard about all three of them that were in the car, they were going to a good place. And as you said, to repeat it again, it was the people who died. It was not their fault. To put it mildly, that's all I'll say. Just a truly tragic situation.
Yeah, exactly. Off next week. I mean, I know you're shocked. I'll take a vacation. I kind of log some innings here. When a training camp starts, what are you looking for? I mean, I know the stories change from year to year, but it's a basic things that you at least look for to see whether it's true or not when a camp begins.
I think a lot of it is the stuff that can't be reported formally. It's who's playing where. I get that people are going to look for what team he's running with. I mean, you have a certain core group of guys that are going to be out there, and that's going to be your starting lineup. You know that, but what combinations are they putting in? I mean, a lot of this too is indoctrination from covering the Steelers for this long. You don't know what group of offensive linemen they're going to use. They rotate around a lot, and it's not just about the current season. It's about the future. You look at McCormick, the guard that the Steelers drafted, third round of this past year. I see him. To connect this with what I said earlier, I see a guy with easy top 50 skills. He just displayed those against FCS competition, so that's something that's going to put him down to the third round. He's an NFL starter, and he's probably a starter by next year. For the Steelers, the question is right guard or left guard. Where are they going to put him? Where do they see him? On day one, if he's at right guard, that does not mean he's permanently a right guard. Where would he end up? Because he's probably not going to be a starter this year either. So the question comes down to how they would use him. What do they want to do with him exactly? What's the rotation at center like? I don't think that Zach Frazier necessarily has much competition, but they're not just going to hand it to the rookie on day one either. Not when he was taken in the second round. Marquise Pouncey was one of the best center prospects seen in the last 15 years. He didn't have the job on day one. Let him work into it. What are you hearing about how they're moving? What's the buzz like? What's the chatter like? Those things matter in camp. It's about leadership. It's about the tone that's being set. the kinds of things that they're doing. Then, of course, obviously there's injuries. You know, you start to hear about this guy had surgery in the off season. He's not available right away. You want to follow that kind of thing, but you know, a lot of it too then just kind of comes down to how successful is this unit or that unit. A lot of things to come into it. I guess I wouldn't say I focus on any particular thing except for the grouping of the offensive line, just to get a sense of where they want to see somebody. It doesn't mean that anything is set in stone immediately, especially when you have younger players like they now do on the offensive line. I didn't even bring up the tackles. You know, what are they going to do with the tackles? They've drafted a lot of offensive linemen lately. What combinations could they use with the younger guys in concert with the veterans that they have on extensions? You know, a lot of different things to do, and I think that's the future foundation of the team. And that's, you know, that's the easiest thing I'll say the entire day, considering how much capital they've put into it. So what they want to do with that, how they're doing it, and with the new offensive coordinator, I mean, you're not going to, you know, necessarily get a whole lot of schematic stuff until, you know, you get deeper into camp and really start to see them add on to the playbook, and then preseason games, what they show a little bit of, to break down a little bit of how they want to approach their opponents on offense. I'm looking forward to seeing that. That's the kind of stuff that I would look at overall. But, at the end of the day, too, it's about, can guys throw? Can they run? Can they catch? Can they block? Can they tackle? You know, what are we seeing to give us a sense that they're capable of doing that, that they're ready to do that? What type of shape are they in? How do they look versus last season? A lot of compare and contrast, I guess, to the level that's important. I don't know, but I know I love it. I love August. Yeah. I love training camp, and I'm looking forward to it coming up here pretty quick.
You did, in the course of the answer, use the expression set in stone. That's you every Tuesday. So,
you bet.
Except for next week.
Which is weird. I'm trying to remember the last time you took a week off.
So am I. But just for a couple, I've had one 3-day weekend since Christmas, and 2 3-day weekends, including Christmas, in the past year.
Yeah, you definitely need the Tuesday off then. take like a 12-day weekend. Those are fun.
Yeah. My friend, thanks so much. We'll talk in a couple of weeks, all right?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, I need more time off. I think Todd needs time off, too.
I will never argue.
Oh, I can tell. All right.
I'm more suit than you, buddy.
He leads the league in time off. Jeez.
He's off next week, too.
Is he really?
Yes, he is.
Oh. Jeez, I could have argued about that the last 51 weeks. All right. Start asking yourself, is it worth it? All right. Half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Well, next half hour, guess who? Giancarlo Stanton's agent, DJ LeMahieu's agent, Paul George's agent.
Party time, game, just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn while they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
That's right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, I went the Ford route, and it's a winner. Great pre-owned inventory, lots are filled with it. And they go over every vehicle with a fine-tooth comb. And a terrific service department. Whether it happens to be routine, which you need, or difficult, they can handle it. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. We've waited patiently, and he has waited patiently for us. And patience normally is not one of his virtues. Matt Cotrillo. I'd like to point out the last 22 games, the Yankees, with a payroll equivalent to the gross domestic product of Japan, are 6-16. The Red Sox, using the Worcester Red Sox, are 16-6.
You know, it was a good thing I had those couple extra minutes, Steve, because I used that time to explain to Anthony Volpe and DJ LeMahieu how to run the bases.
The Yankees have in recent years, have not been a good team running the bases. I mean, in recent years, the Yankees have not been a good team running the bases. And simple as that. And I don't get it, because to me, if you are short on fundamentals, which the Yankees are, then you have problems.
No question. And we'll start there. I don't know if you saw on WFAN yesterday. It was, I forgot who it was now off the top of my head, but one of the afternoon guys said yesterday that the Yankees need a colossal kick in the rear end, but fill in the three-letter word instead. And I could not agree more. Now, at least it has to come from Aaron Boone. But I'm going to take it a step further. It has to come from Hal Steinbrenner. Hal Steinbrenner, since he took over effectively for his father in 2009, 2010, when he was sick and then and died on the 4th of July in 2010, has literally done nothing to light a fire under somebody to make things change for this organization since they last won that World Series in 2009, when that one was for the boss. He needs to invoke his inner George Steinbrenner, his dad, into this organization and hold everybody more accountable. It starts with Brian Cashman, the GM, who has simply not done the job with providing this team with enough quality, consistent talent in all facets. And then it comes to the manager, Aaron Boone, who doesn't hold his own players accountable and I think literally uses the eeny, miny, mo method to put together a lineup every day when he has his star players get hurt. And then it's the players who just aren't doing their jobs correctly. As we talked about with the Sixers before, Steve, it starts from the top down. And Hal Steinbrenner needs to light a fire under everybody's rear end in the organization and start to find a way to change things and hold people more accountable. It's one thing. Now, like I said before with this Yankees team, I did not think they were this good of a baseball team as they were in this first part of the season so far as having one of the best records in baseball. This is the kind of team I thought they would be, but it's still unacceptable to play the way that they are when you're not knowing how to run the bases, you're lollygagging the outfield, and you hobble the ball and you cost your team a stolen base and everything else that bad at bats, everything else that's happened under the sun, and there's no accountability from the manager whatsoever. That needs to start happening with this baseball team, or else they'll continue to falter. And I'll tell you what, too, you're exactly right with the way things are between the Yankees and the Red Sox right now. If the Yankees truly let Boston back in it, which I think they are definitely on their way to doing so, then guess what? They're going to see themselves drop two and stay in third place, and then who knows about the playoff picture after that. I mean, this season, if you thought last year was bad and there's other years that were bad, this year could be one of the worst in franchise history because you'll see a colossal meltdown with this team.
Todd, he's on a roll. Don't interrupt him.
Don't worry, I wasn't.
I mean, and this thing, too, with the lineup for the Yankees. I mean, let's start with Anthony Volpe for a second. I mean, this guy was doing fine. I mean, he's been better with his bat, but it still hasn't been totally consistent. But I think he's still going to be a good piece for this team. I know a lot of New York media is down on him right now. This kid can flat out play shortstop, and he just has to be better with his bat a little bit. And of course, he had the base running mishap, but I still think he's a good piece. And he was good where he was at the top of the lineup. But then when injuries started to occur, then all of a sudden he's bad in seventh, he's bad in first, he's bad in eighth, he's bad in ninth. And I said this about Volpe last year, why I think that hurt him a little bit. He's not in a consistent spot. Then you're putting guys like Ben Rice at the top of the lineup. You put Volpe one time in the four hole. I mean, those guys aren't ready for that yet. Now Ben Rice, of course, had the fluke three-homer game against the Red Sox last week, but I think that was the lone exception. I mean, like I said, Aaron Boone is just not a good fit for this team anymore, and if things continue the way they go, I wouldn't necessarily stay away from a managerial change during this season. I wouldn't sneeze at that. It's one thing to let a guy try to figure things out through the season. But when we've seen these same issues with the manager time and time again in terms of accountability, the way he puts the lineups together, his other managerial decisions, this and that, I mean, sometimes you just have to make a change to put a fire in that clubhouse and get things going again. I mean, this guy just is not a good fit for this baseball team right now. So I would be okay with the change if they made it, if things don't change soon for this baseball team.
The Yankees-Red Sox game on Sunday night was the most viewed ESPN baseball game in 2 years at 2.4 million. I also thought it was apropos that on George Costanza bobblehead night, they blew a two-run lead in the ninth inning.
and that's it. But the bullpen too. That was like the one strength of this team somehow. But even that, I thought at some point the luck would run out. It certainly has, especially on Clay Holmes. I don't know how he's named an all-star with the way he's been pitching right now, but that's a topic for another day. And here's the other thing, too, just in terms of managing against the Red Sox now. Rafael Devers is a Yankee killer. I think we all know that. I think if you live under a rock, you'd probably know that. And yet, Aaron Boone and this baseball team can still continue to let them beat him. Even in the 14-4 win on Saturday against the Red Sox, Rafael Devers had a key hit in that game that gave the Red Sox the lead at that point before the Yankees finally exploded at the plate. I mean, it's just these same things over and over again.
He's just simply better in the clutch than your superstar. All right, so...
And by the way, the WFAN host was Brandon Tierney. I'm sorry, I blanked down on his name before, but he was right on point.
He speaks highly of you. I'm sure you are locked in on the Sixers Summer League team.
I didn't watch the game, but I watched some highlights and I looked at the box score and read a couple other things regarding the game. So I didn't see the game live in person, but you know what? Jared McCain, he showed me something a little bit. It wasn't the greatest shooting night for him, but he showed me that he can drive the basketball and he can score besides shoot. He can do a bunch of other things. So I was encouraged by what I saw there. Obviously, Ricky Council, the fourth, played well, but I know everybody's going nuts about him, saying he could be a part of the rotation. Let's remember, this is summer league here. He did some good things, too, with the Sixers last year, but a lot of that came in garbage time of game. So I'm not necessarily sold on Ricky Council, the fourth. But Adam Bona, I liked him. He was very impressive, I thought, last night. Mm-hmm. I was probably the most excited about him and the way he played last night, to be honest with you, for the Sixers. So, yeah, there were some good things with summer league, no doubt. But, again, it's just summer league. We'll see how it turns out when the real lights are on and you put all the rest of the pieces together.
Let me give you the evaluation of Bona. It's really simple. He is going to have the best view of the games all season long because he's going to have a front row seat. He's the third center.
Exactly. I mean, you are going to be behind Embiid and Drummond, but, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, something tells me in the fourth quarter against the Celtics, Bona is going to be like, you don't need me, do you?
I don't think
so. One way or the other, yeah.
Yeah. You seem to be somewhat fired up about the Yankees.
Well, you know, we had talked a couple weeks ago when the skid kind of first started with the Kansas City series. I said, let's just wait how things go. But as I said, I've said it time and time again, I don't think the Yankees were as good as they were in the beginning of the season. But we'll see if they can turn it around.
I believe,
I'm just flat out angry about this team because of the way they've been losing. I thought they would lose, but it's the way they've been losing that's unacceptable.
I mean, nobody could tell you're angry. Todd, I didn't know until he brought up the anger part.
Sounds like a calm, reasonable man today.
Yeah, no, I mean, seriously. I mean, I'm sure when the kids do something wrong, he doesn't sound like this.
Yeah. It depends on what they did.
Well, Lisa says they can do no wrong.
You know this all started since he pooped on your Yankees shirt, right?
Well, that's a good point.
You know, that is a very good point. That is a very good point. But I'm not going to blame it on John Paul because the skid kind of started around then. But, I mean, he was right. They are playing like it right now.
Well, yeah, and to be honest with you, I mean, he spoke for 98% of America.
Maybe we'll work it out that he's psychic, so the next time he poops on something, we should go bet that they're going to struggle.
Oh, the John Paul psychic hotline. I love it. This is great.
I definitely need to avoid wearing any Eagle shirts when football season starts.
Oh, you'll be wearing them left and right. You're like the suit. You're out there buying the latest gear, the whole thing. Sure, you don't have any money for milk, but you bought gear.
No, you know what? When it comes to the Eagles, I am cautiously optimistic. I don't think they're going to be as good as everybody thinks they're going to be unless they stay healthy, which I think is a very big if. And I still think there's plenty of question marks on defense that they have to answer for me throughout the preseason. I think they are going to win the division this year, but it's not going to be with 12, 13, 14 wins. I think it's going to be with 10 or 11. I don't think the NFC East is going to be that good this year, to be honest with you. So I think the Eagles are going to be 10, 11 win team. I think they can win a playoff game or two, but that's it at the moment. But if they stay healthy and those question marks on defense are turned into positives, well, then, yeah, I mean, the offense is going to be deadly, and then the Eagles, yeah, are going to be a Super Bowl contender. But there's a lot of ifs, I think, for the Eagles if they are going to do anything big this year, in my opinion.
Never an if is your conviction of your opinions.
I just give you my honest opinion, as I do every week.
Well, it was honest and angry this week.
That's right. I mean, I hope it changes. I mean, this is a big week for the Yankees to try to at least get some momentum going into the postseason, but I can't say I got much confidence going on the road to Tampa, and then you finish up with Baltimore before the All-Star break.
I know. So. Isn't it hard when you finally play legitimate teams? All right, so what?
It's hard when everything finally catches up to you and you're actually playing the way I thought you were going to be and you ran out of luck. This is who the Yankees are. They are not that good a team. They are a mediocre team at best. I don't like saying it. I was hoping I was wrong in the first half of the year, but that's who this team is, the way they're playing right now. They are not that good a baseball team.
Well, I kept Todd and I from saying it. All right. Have a wonderful week. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Yeah, sounds good. Enjoy the week off next week, boys, and we'll talk then. Absolutely.
Hey, Matt. Aren't you off the week after? Isn't it going to be 2 weeks? Isn't it going to be 3 weeks?
Yes, actually, because I'm on vacation at the end of the month. So, yeah, I think that will be that. We'll have to confirm, but I believe that's correct.
That's Tuesday of August. Wear a helmet.
I'll tell you, yeah, he's going to come back angry because at that point the kid would have pooped on his shirts like 8 different times.
And then we'll be in the training camp, so then we'll see what happens.
You're going to get that kid potty trained. All right, so the heck with training camp. You're going to get that kid potty trained. Let's go.
There is a lot of motivation behind that, yes.
Well, a lot? Even that's understated. All right, have a great one.
All right, you too, guys.
All right. All right, half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com and News Radio 1070 WKOK.